Imagine a vendor just reaching into your cash register every single night, taking out a handful of change, and knowing you will never, ever notice.
Right, because the receipt they leave behind is written in a language you don't even speak.
Exactly. And that is essentially what is happening right now with your monthly merchant processing statement. I mean, usually when we look at a vendor invoice, we expect basic precision. You buy 10 widgets at $1 each, the bill is $10. The math is just, it is visible.
Yeah, but when you open a processing statement, that arithmetic just completely vanishes.
It really does. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are your team here at MyPay Advisor. I'm your resident analyst, and sitting across from me is our senior payments advisor. Today, we are speaking directly to you, the listener.
And you are likely a U.S. merchant. You are processing anywhere between $25,000 and $5 million a month in card volume.
Right. And we are not doing some high-level theory show today. This is a working session, and we have a very specific mission. We are going to execute the annual rate review playbook for 2026.
Yes, and we are going to show you exactly how to recover your margin. But we need to anchor this right away with the real financial stakes here.
Okay, let's hear the numbers.
So, looking at the 2026 projections, the reality is that most merchants just, they never run a structured annual rate review. And because of that missing oversight, processor margins drift 0.15% to 0.40% higher every single year.
Wait, let me just stop and calculate that for the listener, because a fraction of a percent, it sounds like pennies,
It
right?
does, yeah. But it is not.
No, it is not. If you are a merchant doing $500,000 to $5 million a month, that microscopic drift, it equals $8,000 to $60,000 in loss margin annually.
Exactly.
That is a full-time salary, or just a massive chunk of your bottom line, just gone.
Poof, just gone. And to break down exactly how they take that money, we are pulling from that annual rate review playbook for 2026.
Right.
But we are also going to cross-reference that with the quarterly interchange schedules published by Visa, oversight reports from the Federal Reserve Board, and market data from the Nilson Report.
Okay, so we have the hard data. But before you can even think about negotiating your rate, you really have to understand the anatomy of a single swipe.
Yes, you have to know where the money actually goes.
Right. Like, we see the aggregate loss, but let's look at the mechanics. A customer hands me a card. There are three distinct layers of cost here, right?
That is correct. Every card transaction carries three specific cost layers. And understanding the separation between them is just, well, it's critical. Processors use flat rate marketing to kind of blur them all together.
So what is the first layer?
The first layer is interchange. This fee goes directly to the issuing bank, like Chase or Bank of America, and it is set by the card networks.
Okay.
You cannot change this number, it is just fixed.
Now, I noticed in the playbook it mentioned that the Federal Reserve tracks this. Wait, why is the Central Bank of the United States looking at my hardware store's credit card swipes?
Well, because interchange fees represent billions of dollars moving through the economy. So the Federal Reserve tracks this volume to monitor card economics, consumer spending velocity, and even impacts on inflation.
Oh, wow. So it is a massive economic indicator.
Exactly. But the key for you, the merchant, is that Visa publishes these interchange schedules publicly every single quarter.
Right. So that is the bedrock cost. What is the second layer?
The second layer is called assessments. This is a fixed percentage of volume that goes directly to Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express.
So it just funds their operations.
Yeah, it is how they fund and run their global networks. And again, this is a non-negotiable cost.
Which brings us to the third layer.
Yes, the processor markup.
Okay.
This goes to your processor, the company actually facilitating the transaction for you, and it is the only piece of the entire transaction that you can negotiate.
Hold on, I need to push back here a little bit. If that is the only negotiable piece, and Visa publishes the base rates publicly for everyone to see, why is this just a race to the bottom?
That is a great question.
Like, why don't processors just undercut each other until the markup is basically zero? How do they hide a 0.40% markup increase in plain sight without merchants just, rioting?
Well, that is the brilliant and honestly frustrating part of their model. It comes down to the difference between your contract rate and your effective rate.
Okay, explain that difference.
Merchants focus heavily on the rate they signed in their original contract, maybe 3 years ago. Processors, on the other hand, they focus on the effective rate.
Which is what?
The effective rate is the total fees billed divided by your gross sales.
Oh, I see. It is kind of like buying a corporate software license. The base per seat cost stays completely flat, so you think your pricing is locked in and you got a great deal.
Right.
But over 12 months, they quietly double the data storage fees. the API integration fees, and the priority support fees.
Exactly. Your contract rate hasn't changed a bit, but your actual cost of using the software is just through the roof. Yes, and just like that software company, processors bank on the fact that you won't audit the individual line items a year later.
Because you're too busy running your actual business.
Exactly. The first two layers of a transaction are fixed, but that processor markup drifts over time. And I will tell you, it does not happen by accident.
So how does the money actually move out of the merchant's account? Like, I'm picturing a processing statement right now. Where is this margin leaking out? The playbook points out a few specific patterns, right?
Yes. There are five specific billing patterns that operators really need to identify. The most common daily bleed is tier reclassification.
What does that mean for the daily swipes?
So many merchants are sold on these tiered pricing plans where a quote-unquote qualified rate covers your standard consumer credit card.
So?
But if your customer uses a premium reward card or a corporate card, the processor routes that transaction to a mid-qualified or non-qualified tier.
Oh, and those tiers are more expensive.
Much more. Those tiers are suddenly 0.80 to 1.50% higher than the standard rate.
Wait, let me do the math on that really quick.
Mm-hmm.
If I am doing $400,000 in monthly volume, and let's say 40% of my customers pay with heavy reward cards, that tiny fraction of a percent is siphoning roughly $1,600 to $2,000 out of my pocket every single month.
Yeah.
That is over 20 grand a year just because my customers like airline points.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You are essentially funding their vacation upgrades. Under clean interchange plus pricing, you just pay the actual cost of that reward card. But under tiered pricing, the processor heavily pads the downgrade.
Okay, so tier reclassification drains you on the daily swipes.
Mm.
But looking at this statement, I am seeing weird annual charges that have nothing to do with the actual transactions. Like, what is this $250 PCI compliance fee? Isn't PCI compliance a real security requirement?
Well, it is a real security standard, yes.
Yeah.
But the fee itself is largely an administrative cash grab.
Seriously?
Yeah, this is a classic quiet reset. That annual fee creeps from $99 up to $250 over a few years. Plus, if you forget to fill out your self-assessment questionnaire online, processors add monthly non-compliance penalties of 19.95 to 49.95.
Just for missing a form.
Just for missing a deadline. It can add $600 to $800 in surprise line items by the end of the year.
That is infuriating. It is literally just a tax on being busy. What about international stuff? What happens when a customer buys from overseas?
That triggers cross-border assessments. When a customer pays with a foreign-issued card, Visa charges a 0.40 to 1.20% international service assessment.
And MasterCard?
MasterCard charges 0.60 to 1.00%. And the networks charge that to handle the currency conversion and international risk.
Which makes sense.
It does. But processors look at that network fee and often add their own 0.10 to 0.30% markup on top of it.
Hoping you just assume the whole thing is a mandatory foreign tax.
Exactly. They just slide it right in there.
And what about the contract itself? Don't they legally have to tell me if they are raising my rates?
They do, but they use auto-renewal price adjustments. Contracts typically allow processors to adjust pricing with just 30 days written notice.
Okay, but I never get a letter about that.
Because that notice isn't a certified letter. It is often just a single tiny line of text buried on page 4 of your regular monthly statement.
Sneaky.
Very. And a 0.10% increase on $1.2 million in volume, well, that shifts $14,400 from the merchant straight to the processor over a year, and it is entirely legal.
It is exactly like a terms of service update on an app that nobody ever reads.
Yes.
And I assume this is where all the hidden line items come from too, right? Like pattern number 5?
Oh, yeah. When you sign the contract, the summary listed maybe 3 fees, but pull a current statement today and you will see 8 to 14 separate processor sideline items.
Like what?
Statement fees, batch fees, network access fees, regulatory product fees. Stacked up, they add another $400 to $900 a year easily.
Okay, so how much is too much? If I'm looking at all these fees, what is a fair profit for the processor? I mean, they have to make money.
They do. And the Nilson report, which is kind of the gold standard for global card industry data, they actually track this.
Okay, what do they say?
Their market data shows that the average net processor margin on a small to mid-sized merchant book sits between 0.25 and 0.55%.
Oh, that is much lower than I thought.
That is the reality of processor economics. Anything above that 0.55% range is a negotiation point. It is not a market floor.
Okay, so the theory is fine, but as operators, we really need to see this math applied. Let's look at the real-world profile from the playbook to demonstrate what this audit process looks like in action.
Sure.
The playbook highlights a B2B parts distributor. They are doing $850,000 in monthly card volume with a $12,250 average ticket.
Right, and their card mix is heavy on commercial plastic, about 60% commercial, 30% consumer credit, and 10% debit.
So what was their issue?
Their problem was classic margin drift. Their 12-month average effective rate was sitting at 2.87%. But by October, it had climbed to 3.04%. On $10.2 million in annual volume, they paid roughly $293,000 in total fees.
That is a massive chunk of cash. So what was the intervention? How did we actually fix it?
The intervention was highly specific and targeted. First, we moved them completely off that tiered pricing model we talked about.
Right.
And we forced the processor onto an interchange plus pricing model. Second, because they are a B2B business taking commercial cards, we activated level 2 and level 3 data transmission through their payment gateway.
Stop right there. Explain level 2 and level 3 data. What does that actually look like, and why would Visa care enough to lower my rate?
It is all about risk reduction through transaction data. Level 1 data is just the basic swipe. You charged $5,000.
Okay.
Level 2 and level 3 data populate fields with highly specific information. It sends the customer's tax ID, the specific tax amounts, the line item details of the parts ordered, and the freight zip codes.
Wait, so less risk for Visa equals a lower wholesale cost for me?
Precisely. Think about it from the bank's perspective. If someone steals a corporate card, they don't usually input the exact freight weight and destination zip code for industrial drill bits, right?
Total sense.
Yeah. By providing that rich data, you prove it is a legitimate B2B transaction. It practically eliminates friendly fraud and chargeback risk.
Wow.
And current Visa schedules heavily discount the interchange costs when you provide that data. So by making those two moves, this distributor reduced their effective rate from 2.87% down to 2.18%.
The result of that math is staggering.
Yeah.
They recovered $68,000 in margin in year one.
Yep.
And that gateway activation fee required to send the level 3 data, it paid for itself inside the first week of transactions.
It really did.
But I have to ask the operational question here because it sounds like a nightmare. How long did this take? Did the merchant have to rip out their point of sale system, train all their cashiers on a new interface, and just start over?
Not at all. And that is the beauty of this process. It took exactly 14 business days from the moment the written request was sent to the moment the first reprice statement arrived.
Seriously, no hardware changes.
No contract termination was required and no new hardware was installed. It was purely an administrative correction on the back end.
Okay, if I have an operator listening to this,
yeah,
I am probably thinking, I don't have time to fight a giant financial institution. I have inventory to order, I have payroll to run, and customers to deal with.
Sure.
But finding the gap is only step one. Getting the money back requires a disciplined operational sequence. You can't just call up your rep and complain, right?
Definitely not.
Let's outline the 7 steps to execute this playbook over a single week.
Okay, so steps 1 and 2 are strictly data gathering. You need to log into your processor portal, pull your last 12 monthly statements, and download your original processing agreement.
Just get all the paperwork together.
Right. Then build a simple 12-row spreadsheet calculating your effective rate for each month. You just divide total fees by total volume.
And building that spreadsheet is so crucial because a 0.05% monthly drift hides very easily inside a busy operating year. You just don't notice it month to month.
You really don't.
But when you map it out on a spreadsheet, you see this steady upward slope that ends up looking like a massive 0.60% surprise at your renewal date.
Exactly. So once you see the slope, you move to steps 3 and 4. You take your most recent statement and list every single line item that was not in your original contract.
The hidden fees.
Yes. Then you calculate a weighted average interchange for your specific card mix using the current Visa and MasterCard quarterly tables. The difference between your effective rate and that weighted average is your all-in markup. That becomes your target.
Okay, so once you have that target, you execute step 5. You go out and get 2 written interchange plus quotes from competing processors for your specific volume tier.
Exactly. And the playbook notes that a typical competitive quote for this $500,000 to $2 million volume tier is 0.15 to 0.3 euro% over interchange, plus maybe 5 to 10 cents per item.
Which leads us directly to step 6 and 7, which is the actual negotiation.
Right. You send a clear one-page summary to your current relationship manager. It includes your 12-month drift trend, the list of new line items, your competitive benchmark quotes, and a strict 14-day deadline to respond.
And what if they just ignore it?
If they miss that deadline, you compare your 12 months of projected savings against your early termination fees and switching costs.
Which usually run, what, $500 to $5,000?
Yeah, usually. So if the savings easily exceed the costs, you just move.
We really have to highlight the golden rule in this playbook. Why can't I just call my rep? I mean, we play golf, we have a good relationship. Why go through all this paperwork?
Because the repricing request only works in writing. I cannot stress this enough.
Okay.
Verbal renegotiations over the phone leave no paper trail. Your processor's relationship manager is working backward from their own internal margin goals.
All right.
If you just call and complain, they will give you a $50 monthly statement credit to make you feel like you won a concession.
Which is nothing compared to the drift.
Right. You must put the math in writing to trigger an actual structural review of your account.
So what is the immediate takeaway for you, the operator? What should you do this week? Do not wait for your auto renewal notice to arrive in the mail.
Please don't.
Go into your processor portal today. Pull your last 12 statements, drop those numbers into a spreadsheet, and calculate your effective rate for each month. Find out exactly how much drift is sitting on your books right now.
And this raises a highly strategic question for 2026. What happens if a processor simply refuses to negotiate a fair markup, even when you show them the math in black and white?
Yeah, what do you do then?
The Visa rules actually outline another tool for merchants. It is the process for merchant credit surcharging.
Interesting.
Merchants are required to notify their acquirer 30 days before they begin surcharging. If the processor simply will not share the margin, is 2026 the year you begin shifting that cost directly to the consumer at the point of sale?
Wow. That is a massive strategic decision every operator will have to weigh.
Right.
And it obviously comes with its own risks regarding customer experience.
It does.
But it all starts with knowing your numbers. Like we said at the beginning, we expect our invoices to be simple addition. When you buy 10 widgets, it should cost $10.
Exactly.
It is time to clear up the muddy waters of your processing statements and make the math visible again. Stop letting them reach into your cash register.
Run the numbers on your own business this week.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.